Leader. You listen to leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the name Ar-Rashidu. Ar-Rashidu is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that Allah is the one who guides to the right path. Allah is the one who guides to the right path. One very important lesson that we learn from this very beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when Allah has put someone or has given someone the ability to do good works, and that he is preoccupied in things which are very, very positive, that there is great reward, he knows what I am doing, the result will be that Allah will give me thawab. So what he is doing is good works in his entire life. That should not allow for the symptoms of pride and arrogance to enter into his heart. Why? Because whatever good you are doing, this is not your kamal. This is not something that is extraordinary inside you. This is the kamal of Allah, that Allah is Ar-Rashid and Allah guided you to that right path. Allah guided you to the right path. That you are a pilot, for an example, and there's a lot of turbulence and there was a possibility of a disaster. But then, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the plane to land safely. And some people might say that this pilot has got so many hours of experience. And he is this, and he is this, and he is that. But he is nothing. He is nothing. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Ar-Rashid. At the right time, Allah guides a person to do the right things. This is something which is very, very important for us to understand. It's very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to snatch the blessing that you have. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا يُدْلِلْ فَلَن تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to mislead someone and misguide him, then for him there are no helpers. And for him there is no assistance. He will go completely astray. So whatever good works we are doing, that is Allah who has given you hidayat. If an imam is sitting on this pulpit and he is giving lectures, and Allah save all the scholars, but in the heart, if he even thinks
that, oh, it is my knowledge that is benefiting people and so people are benefiting. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It is Allah who is ar-Rashid, and Allah has placed a person in that position. If an imam feels that I am invincible, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If a qari feels it is my qira'at that has an effect or whatever. No, no. It is ar-Rashid. Allah has put power in your qira'at. Allah has put power in what you are saying. Everything comes from Allah. If a person is supporting somebody financially and helps somebody, and if he thinks that it's my hard-earned effort, it is my kamal that the money that I have given to this person. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, always remember my name, Ar-Rashidu. Ar-Rashid means Allah is the one who guides to the right path. Allah guides to the right path. If a person comes for salah, it is the tawfiq of Allah. Allah guided him that he came for Jumu'ah, that he made dua, that he recited Surah Kahf, that he read Durood Sharif, that he did Zikr, Fikr, Azkar, whatever he did, that is from Allah. Allah guided him. Ar-Rashid means Allah put in his heart. Allah guides him to the right path. And so we must always remember that the good that we do is because Allah has guided us. He is Ar-Rashid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this in the heart, and so we are doing that. Otherwise, subhanallah, who are we? Nothing. In fact, in the Quran, if you have a look, the relationship which Allah makes it very clear with His messengers, sometimes there are very stern words that have been used. Very strong words that has been used for Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. And this is to show also the might and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if you look at the akhlaq of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, subhanallah, their level of the heart is that they are continuously thanking Allah. What are they doing? Continuously thanking Allah. Hamesha, every second. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. And in one of his trips, journey, Allah says, Hatta idha ataw ala wadi naml. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam reached the ant valley, an area which was filled with ants. It was an ant colony. Wadi Naml, Chutiyo ki Wadi, ant colony. And as he got there, Qalat Namla, one ant spoke out, Ya ayyuhan namlu dukhulu masakinakum, la yahtimannakum Sulaiman wa junudu, wa hum la yash'urun. So one ant spoke out to the rest of the ants, to the entire community and group, that be careful. Enter back into your dwellings, lest Sulaiman and his army was to crush you. Sulaiman and his army was to crush you. So quickly go inside. This information was given by one ant to the rest of the colony. Ajib. Now imagine what an honor it was for Sulaiman alayhi salam that the ant speaks and Sulaiman alayhi salam has got such sharp ears and the listening ability, that is his mu'jiza, that he can pick up exactly what the ants are speaking. And nobody understands that. So Sulaiman alayhi salam looked at the ant talking to the rest of the ants. Fatabassama. And he started to smile. ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا, because of what one aunt said to the rest. And he started smiling. But subhanallah, what he said thereafter, and this is recorded and registered in the Quran. قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ. O Allah, enable me to be thankful to you of the blessings that you have bestowed on me and also my parents. Subhanallah. Look at the Nabi. Look at their condition. He is a Nabi, Masoom. But Allah, enable me. Allah, give me the strength more. That I am thankful to all of the blessings that you have given me, not only me, because his father was a great Nabi, وَعَلَىٰ وَالِدَيَّ, and also to my parents. And then he's saying, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ, that Allah give me the power to do good deeds, good actions that will please you. So he is saying, I can't do any good, but only with your permission. وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and O Allah, admit me by your mercy amongst those who are your righteous servants. Nek logo mein hume dakhil kar de. Subhanallah. This was the humility, this was the connection that Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam had with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so today we need to realize, anything that we have, it is not something that is our own achievement. It is not our own achievement. It is rushd. It is guidance that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the intelligence that Allah has given you, and the results are in front of you. Everything tallies back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and understand His beautiful name and attribute, Ar-Rashidu. Ar-Rashidu is a name that will shut the doors of takabbur, that will shut the doors of takabbur and kibr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an said something very ajeeb and amazing. It is famously recorded about him. He said, أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ, أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us honor, and that honor that we have is because of Islam. That honor that we have is because of, it is not because of your profession, your knowledge, your wealth, your status, your family background, your lineage, who you are. It's not because of that. Allah has given us honor because of Islam. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an would say that who we were and where were we? Nobody knew us. But Allah gave us honor only in Islam. And so what Hazrat Umar was saying, that if you are trying to look for honor, if you are trying to look for honor outside of Islam, then there is no honor for you. There is no honor for you. Be proud of the Quran that Allah has given us. Be proud of the hadith, the sunnah that Allah has given us. Be proud of the beautiful teachings of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Be proud of what Allah has given us. We don't have to go out anyway. Today a Muslim lady, she will buy a 1 pound clip. She will buy a 1 pound clip to put on her hair. And because of that 1 pound clip, she will want to throw her scarf away. Ajeeb. That 1 pound clip, she wants to show her beautiful hair. But your honor and your respect is in Iman and Islam. This is the meaning of Ar-Rashidu. That is why in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a man is there to please people, and in doing so, he makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unhappy. If a man is there to please people, and in doing so, he makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unhappy, then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause every one of them to be unhappy. Every one of them to be unhappy. But if a man is there with the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for some reason in doing so, the other people don't understand that relationship that a person has with Allah, and they become unhappy with him. They become unhappy with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, by your action, I will make everyone around you happy. Everyone else will also be happy. And so this is something which is very, very important for us to understand. We were nothing. Allah gave us hidayat. Allah is the one who gives us hidayat. In the month of Ramadan, Allah is Ar-Rashid. We fast. We give charity. We do good works. We wake up for tahajjud. We pray Taraweeh. All of that, it is tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always return back to Allah, otherwise Allah can change the score very quickly. Very, very quickly. Now, what we need to also understand, every action that we do has its own merit and also a demerit. It has its own merit, faida, and also its nuqsan, a demerit. And so the shaitan will pull the string towards the other way and not towards the way where Allah will give him reward. So let us do our own islah, for an example. If Allah has given someone position and power, if Allah has given someone position and power, that is very good, there's nothing wrong with that. But eventually position and power leads towards arrogance and pride. What does it do? It leads a person towards arrogance and pride. This is where we have to be very careful. Very careful. It doesn't mean that you are the Prime Minister or an MP. It can be in a simple shop that you are running, or you might be a group leader of 4 to 5 people. Any position that Allah has given you, eventually shaitan drags a person towards arrogance and pride. This is very dangerous. Have a look at Fir'aun. The downfall of Fir'aun. Pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance. Could not digest the power and the position that was given. Look at Qarun. The same thing. Subhanallah al-Azim. If you look at Turkey, Tayyip Erdogan, there has been such an effort to remove this leader. There has been so much effort to, there's turmoil everywhere in the Muslim world today. And it's not about, you know, corruption. Corruption is just an excuse. Corruption and terrorism are nice words, very delicious when you use it in the right way. But it's all about gaddi. What is it? Position. It leads a person towards arrogance. But when a person is humble, and when a person in that position is there wanting to show love to people, and he is there to care for people, Difficulty will come, but you will see that everyone will love him. Everyone will love him. Is there a greater position than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam? When he entered Makkah, the first man that was there saw him, the army that Huzur alayhi salam came with, this man was shivering, the legs were shivering. So Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam stopped him and said, "What is the matter with you?" He was not even a Muslim. "What is the matter with you?" And look at his leadership, look at his humility. He said, "Why are your legs shivering? What is the matter with you? Don't you know I am the son of a Qurayshi woman from the city of Makkah that would eat the same food what you eat?" Ajib. "I am the son of a simple Qurayshi woman that eats the same food what you eat." Be calm. Be calm. Subhanallah. Look at the akhlaq. And this is something very, very important. That when you have the power and position, a person must distribute love. What should he do? Distribute love. That people love him. Then he is a good leader. People must love him without weapons, without any kind of dictatorship or aggression or an authority that is shown. No, no. With the heart that you love that person. This is what Sharia is telling us. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Sayyidul qawmi fi safari khadimuhum." In fact, when a person is a leader, he is actually the khadim of the people. What is it? You should be out there talking to people. That look, is there any difficulty? I am in that position. I can assist you. I can help you. You know, I will assist you. To make things easy for the people, life easy for the people, if you have power. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is something which is so important. It should not be that nobody can even get to that person. There is so much bureaucracy. There are so many obstacles that you can't even get to that person. This is not Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq was such. My brothers, listen to the Quran. Listen to the Quran. They would say, وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُن. وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُن. This is in the Quran. Allah revealed a verse how they would take Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they understood of this man, and they started saying to each other, these are non-Muslims, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, getting to him is no problem. He is like an earpiece. What is he? He is like an udhun. They said Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an ear. As in, he is available, he is always listening. His akhlaq is such that when you speak to him, he will always resolve your matter. He is always there to assist. He is always there to help. وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُن. He is like an earpiece. This is what the Quran is describing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that we have to be very, very careful. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in a position that you are a headmaster or you are a counselor or you are whatever you are, or you are at the call center and you are a manager or you have a shop or whatever Allah has given you and there are people that are working under you. Subhanallah, love is very important. And when you show love, it is love that you will receive and people will love you with sincerity. People will love you with sincerity. And then, thereafter, the ulama have mentioned, when Allah gives a person wealth, when Allah gives a person wealth, great merit. But shaitan will drag a person when wealth opens to him towards miserliness. Towards miserliness. So he has to be very, very careful that he is not pushed by the shaitan completely in one direction. That now Allah has opened up dunya for him, instead of helping and assisting, he is keeping it to himself, hoarding the wealth. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said something very amazing. He said, As-sakhiyu habibullah. That a man who is sakhi, he is the most beloved to Allah Pak. How about that? As-sakhiyu habibullah. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam had trained his companions not just to stand up for tahajjud, or just to put on ihram and do tawaf and umrah, or recite the Quran, and to come for 5 times a day salah. No, no. He trained them to be sahi. And this is proof in the Quran. The Quran says about sahaba, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They were so generous, sahaba, that despite the fact that they were in need, they were the most needy, that they were in need of complete help and assistance, whatever they would have, they would want to give. But that was the training given to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Training was given. The Quran is saying, وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They were most needy, but despite the fact that they gave. It is said that in America, there was a man who opened up a barber shop. Opened up a barber shop. He was well-to-do, but this barber shop was like a hobby for him. And he would not charge people. Free haircuts. What was it? Free haircuts. So for a few hours in a day, he would have his barber shop open and free haircuts. So when he started his business, people came. So one man came and he had a haircut. So he says, how much will you charge? He goes, no, it's free. He says, free? He goes, yeah, free, free. Because I do it just as enjoyment. It's a hobby. So thank you very much. So this man had a flower shop and he would sell also cards. So the next day he said that, let me thank this man. So he gave him a bunch of flowers and a thank you card. And a thank you card. Very thank you, Baba Bal. And then another man came, and this man, he had his haircut, and he said, how much? He said, oh, free. This is free. No, free. So again, this man said that, chale yaar. He had a shop selling clothes. So he bought for this barber a nice shirt and trousers and gave it as a gift. A gesture. So trousers and shirt was given to him. And then after a while, another man came. Haircut, how much? Free. Acha? And he had a takeaway shop. He had a takeaway shop. So he gave him a hot meal. Free of charge, a hot meal. Thank you. And then comes an Indian man. Indian man comes. Some of you might get angry here, by just to wake you up a bit. An Indian man comes along to the barber shop. He says, cut here, cut here, cut here. Machine phira de sab. He goes, okay. So how much? It's free. He goes, free? Free. He goes, yeah, free. He goes, okay. Next day, at the barber shop, there are 50 Indians waiting there even before the barber shop opens. So the barber said, where did you guys come from? He goes, no, our friend said that you give us a free haircut. 50 aadmi wahan khade hoge. So brothers, let us contribute in society. You know, actually when we give, Allah gives more. When we give, Allah gives more. And I said this on a Wednesday. You might have heard of a man whose name is Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi. You've heard of him, Junaid Baghdadi. Junaid Baghdadi, his profession was that he was a wrestler. What was he? Wrestler. Very strong wrestler. He was such a strong man that he was the wrestler employed by the king. And so he was a royal wrestler, employed by the king. And so now and then, the king would arrange for wrestlers to get together and to fight in a ring. And so nobody would dare to fight Junaid Baghdadi. Junaid from Baghdad, he was a very strong man. And the king would give a lot of wealth, gems, jewelry, gold, silver, money to the winner. And so one day there was a fight arranged in the ring. Everybody was there. Everybody came. And it was made, an announcement was made that the king's wrestler is here, Junaid. And the skills that you know of this man, how he is. Does anyone take on the challenge to fight Junaid Baghdadi? So everybody knew of Junaid, very strong man, the moves that he knew. You know, all the moves. And this one man put his hands up, who was not even a wrestler, just a common man. He says, I will take on Junaid Baghdadi. Everybody looked at him. You're going to fight Junaid Baghdadi? It's like myself getting into the ring with Mike Tyson. Allah give him hidayat, mashallah, and Allah give istiqamah to everybody. A great man, a great boxer. If only you could not chew people's ears. But khair, forget all that. And Junaid Baghdadi looked at this man, as this man's going to fight. He says, yeah, and the king said, well, if he wants to fight, you know, if that's his wish, death wish, you know, that's up to him. So Junaid Baghdadi, mashallah, you know, he took off his kurta and there was, show his body, mashallah, how tough he is. That man, you know, skin and bones, bichara, slim man, comes and says, chalo. So this man came close to Junaid, and there was an opportunity for both the fighters to meet and see each other. And if they wanted to say anything, they would say it in the ring. So this man said to Junaid Baghdadi, he says, Junaid, I know you're a great fighter. I know of your fame. I know how you fight. I know how you move. I know the whole world is scared of you. I know you have been the king's wrestler for years. I admit that you are the best here and nobody can beat you. Nobody can beat you. So Junaid Baghdadi looked at him, then why are you fighting me? So he says, listen to me very carefully. I am from the family of Huzur alayhi salam. I am from the family of Huzur alayhi salam. And we are very poor. My children are very poor. We have had nothing to eat for months. Life has become very, very difficult. I just felt that maybe if I could fight with you, I have heard that, you know, you're a good man. And I wanted to make a request that I could never ever beat you in a fight. But why don't you pretend fighting me that you hit me slowly and I will hit you a bit hard. And when I hit you a bit hard, you fall down and I will climb on top of you. And this will mean that I have won the fight. Junaid Baghdadi said that, you know, it's like fixing a fight here, isn't it? So Junaid Baghdadi looked down and looked into the heart. Bas. He said to this man, Teek, okay. He's a man from the family of Huzur alayhi salam Sayyid, a man who is in need. Subhanallah. And so round one, boxing match started, wrestling, whatever you call it. So Junaid Baghdadi would hit him slowly, but that man would punch him hard, this and that. And then one punch again, Junaid Baghdadi fell down. People were booing Junaid Baghdadi, he fell down. And he got on top of Junaid Baghdadi. And Junaid Baghdadi could not stand up. So the referee that was there said, this man has won. The king looked and said, how is this possible? He says, no. Start again. Junaid was not ready. Start again, Junaid was not. A rematch. Again the same scenario, Junaid fell down. And that man got on top of him. The referee said, this man won. The Badshah looked. No, Junaid perhaps is not feeling well. Start again. And he said to Junaid, "Junaid, sort your things out. What is happening to you? You know, how can this man beat you?" So Junaid looked at the king and said, "Okay." So now again he took the fight a bit long. But then again one punch and he fell down. And now this was three times that Junaid fell. And so even the king now said, "Okay, this man has won." A lot of gifts were given to this new champ. A lot of wealth, gold, silver, jawahir, gems were given. And the king is a king and he says, "As from now I have disqualified you, Junaid, and you are no longer my wrestler, and get out, no position for you." And empty-handed, Junaid Baghdadi walks out from the ring. Imagine, this man sacrificed everything. Everything he gave to that one man. His entire career, life, honor, the wealth that he could have earned. This is all he knew how to fight. But just for one man, he felt in his heart, no, you know, let me help him. Let me give. And he gave everything to him. And he gave so much that he lost everything. And people were not even looking at Junaid Baghdadi in that way. And this is the problem with humanity today, that you know, when somebody is very high, everybody is with him. When difficult days come, nobody is with him. Junaid Baghdadi walked home. And the wife saw Junaid and said, "Junaid, are you okay? What has happened?" He says, "No, nothing." And he said to the wife, "Look, I just want to sleep. I'm tired. I want to rest. My mind should rest." He went to sleep. Now Junaid Baghdadi was a wrestler. What was he? Wrestler. He went to sleep. He saw a dream. Huzur alayhi salatu was salam came to Junaid and said, "Junaid, why are you thinking twice? What you did is the right thing. You assisted one member of my family and you gave up everything that you had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will want to give you so much that people will envy you." And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam gave him basharat in the dreams that Allah has included your name in the lists of awliyaullah. When Junaid Baghdadi woke up, he was not a wrestler who woke up. He became the great muhaddis and a great scholar of his time and a great faqih and a great sufi and a great wali of Allah. Subhanallah. Everybody, like people know of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, every man will also know Junaid Baghdadi. This was the man he was. But look, by giving, Allah gave him so much also. By giving, Allah gave him so much. And so, the third thing the scholars have mentioned, when Allah gives a person knowledge, he has to be very careful. With knowledge comes hasad. With knowledge comes hasad, jealousy. Any kind of knowledge. Any kind of knowledge, if a person is very high learned, naturally shaitan will want to pull him towards jealousy, hasad. That is why in the Darul Ulooms, our mashaykh, when a scholar became an alim, they would, number one, never give him sanad that he is an alim. You know, when we were in Darul Uloom, we were never given a certificate. Everybody has a certificate. So you were qualified as a scholar, but what sanad do you have? No, nobody gives you. Did you do it for papers or what? You did it for Allah, go. And you had to stay in the khidmat of a sheikh for 1 year to make sure that you are cleansed from the inside. This has always been the legacy of Islam. With knowledge thereafter. And this is with any knowledge, not just knowledge of the Quran and Hadith, any knowledge. So a person has to be very, very careful. And then ulama have said, with fame comes this pretentious character. When a person becomes very famous, he will want this very sanctimonious approach that he will have, that he will do things to show people. Riyakari. What is it called? Riyakari. He will want to pretend. He will make gestures, do this, do that, with fame. When you have fame, this is what it comes. Ulama have mentioned, now this people have to understand also, when a person is pious, when a person is pious, with piety comes vanity. With piety comes vanity. That means that he will despise someone who is not like him. So if he wakes up for tahajjud, then he will say, Alhamdulillah, you know, I pray tahajjud, mashallah. Oh, you don't pray tahajjud. Now, he is taking someone to be inferior. So he is in the mosque making dua, and then he look. Oh, I thought Imam Sahib would be doing dua. He didn't. He didn't even pray his nafal namaz. Kya, theek hai, Maulvi, kya, theek hai. People have that approach. Seriously, people have that approach. It's very, very wrong. Very wrong. Our mashayikh would do ibadat at home. You understand? And so whatever good deeds you're doing, I went for 4 months in the path of Allah. No. What have you done? Have you even been for 2-3 days? You despise that person. You despise that person. I pray, I give charity. What do you give? Any good deeds, when a person is labeled as genuinely a pious man, then he has to be very, very careful, because shaitan puts inside him that you are superior and that person is not to your level. He doesn't recite Surah Yasin. He doesn't pray 2-3 paras a day. He doesn't pray Durood Sharif from Asr to Maghrib. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Allah. And with beauty comes showing off. With beauty comes showing off. So when Allah has given somebody beauty, then naturally you will see that he will want to show off. You'll see the youth wearing t-shirt and muscles and this and that. And women, you will see, Allah has given them a lot of beauty. Despite the fact that they are wearing a scarf and a dress, some of the scholars have mentioned, even when they are walking, they will still want to see the men folks that who are eyeing us. The more men look at us, that means we are thatmat. What does that mean? We are thatmat. All wrong. This beauty is only skin deep. This beauty is only skin deep. Allahu Akbar. Look at yourself when you are 35, 36, 37, downhill. Look at yourself when you're 40, 41, 42, downhill. Even if you try to have black hair, it's going to pop out. White hair, there, everywhere, white hair. Meri biwi kehti hai, tumhe to yahan sufed baal aage. Kya aage? Yahan kya aage? Sufed baal. Main budda ho gaya. Sufed baal aage to kya hua? Budda ho gaya. And you lose hair from here and you have a crown. You know what, you have a crown. And everything ends. So you have to be very, very careful. Our mashayikh and our scholars have said, remember, the name of Allah is Ar-Rashid. What is it? Rashid. Anything good that you do, that is from Allah. Because Allah is the one who guides a person to the straight path. And if you are doing any action, then be very, very careful, because shaitan will want to take that good deed away from you. And we should not allow him to take that good deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah. I've taken a bit of your time, so we'll just make dua. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allah kareem, Allah kareem. Yahan log baithe hue hain. Ya Allah, jumuah ka din hai, jumuah ki namaz pari. Ya Allah, thake hue hain, kaam se log aaye, lekin mahz teri raza ke liye yahan baithe hue hain. Allah sab ki maghfirat farma de. Allah sab ki maghfirat farma de. Allah kareem, hame jism mein bhi barkat de, hamare karobar mein bhi barkat de. Allah hamare ahlu ayal mein bhi barkat de. Hamari aulad ko bhi ya Allah tu nek bana. Allah hame aafiyat wali zindagi de. Allah hamari choti moti qurbani ko tu qabool kar le. Ya Allah tu humse razi ho ja. Ya Allah tu humse razi ho ja. Ya Allah tu humse razi ho ja. Allah hame jannatul firdaus mein jaga de. Allah kareem jannat mein jaga de. Allah kareem jannatul firdaus mein jaga de. Allah kareem jahannam ki aag se hamari hifazat farma. Jahannam ki aag se hifazat فرما جہنم کی آگ سے حفاظت فرما. سمعنا واطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.